Every day, we're praying for the mercy of the Panchatattva so that we can chant the holy name of the Lord purely, without any offense, but not only not without any offenses, but actually with feelings, with devotion. So here we, all the words in this verse are bhakta, 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 bhakta shakti kam, bhakta sarupa kam, bhakta bhaktakyam. So this bhakta means bhakti, devotion. So by the mercy of these panchatattva, these five truths, these five expansions of Krishna, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, Dvaitacharya, Gadadhar and Shivas, we get the mercy, the bhakti shakti. We get the mercy. It manifests within us. Bhakti will manifest within us by the mercy of the panchatattva. So, we're praying to them, please, remove my offenses, give me your mercy, and then manifest devotion within me, because it is only by pure devotion that I can serve Krishna. Because Krishna cannot be served by impure mind or by impure heart. Krishna is only really served by the pure devotee. That's why we say, we are not serving Krishna. We are serving the devotee of Krishna. Dasano dasano das. Our Guru Maharaj, he is a pure devotee of the Lord, whoever your gurus are. And he, his heart is pure. So he is qualified. He has the eligibility and the adhikar and the purity and the devotion and the surrender of mind and heart to serve Radha and Krishna and Gauranga Mahaprabhu. We don't. But by Guru's grace, we put our service in his hand. We take the offering plate, even in internal bhajan or external bhajan, we put the offering plate in the hand of Guru. Guru, please take this to Gauranga and Gaur Leela. Please take this to Lalita Sakhi and Rupa Manjari and Krishna Leela. You please make this offering. I did what I could. I externally prepared an offering. I cut some fruit, I cooked some sabji, I rolled some chapatis. I did something external. But as far as having direct access to Krishna or Gauranga, one must be pure devotee. So I'm giving it in your hand, Gurudev. You please offer it. So we are assisting our Guru. So by the mercy of Panchatattva, we will develop that devotion, that pure devotion, which is required to directly serve Krishna in the spiritual world. So Narada Muni, of course, he wants to take part in the Gauranga Leela of the Lord, and he is the perfect, pure devotee of the Lord, Narada Muni. So Narada Muni, he is always traveling around. He has this blessing, as you know from first canto of Bhagavatam, he's the bhakta. He spreads bhakti all over the universe. Narada Muni, they say Narada. Nara means humans. Nara, da, Narada. He gives to the humans. Is it right? So Narada, what does he give? He gives the opportunity to serve Krishna. He gives the opportunity to take part or experience the leelas of Krishna because he's an instigator. He's a catalyst for making leelas go on. He went to Kamsa and said, "Hey Kamsa, what are you trying to smash these babies for? The baby he's going to smash your head is already born in Vrindavan. Why are you trying to smash these babies over here? There's a baby in Vrindavan that's going to smash your head soon enough." "Oh, really? Oh, thank you for the good news, Narada." Then he sent one rakshasa after another to go to Vrindavan. "Kill all the babies in Vrindavan, especially the blue ones." Krishna's not the only blue baby. Many coward boys are also blue. At any rate, so Sridham is also blue, I believe. And Subal is golden. At any rate, so this Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni, this is his duty to spread devotion everywhere. So when Mahaprabhu comes, he also comes in Mahaprabhu's Leela as Srivas Thakur. So there's some nice description here about his identity. We can just read. It's very... Srivas Pandit is Jiva Tattva. We are also Jiva. Jiva Tattva. Bhaktakyam. Bhaktakyam. This means pure devotee. Jiva Tattva. He's the marginal potency of Krishna. He appears on earth as a Shuddha Bhakta. Now with this point, I want you to keep in mind, because we want to discuss the different types of Shuddha Bhaktas. the different types of pure devotees. Sometimes you say, oh, he's a pure devotee. But there are different types of pure devotees. According to their vision of the Lord, according to their bhava or love for the Lord, there are different types of pure devotees. Tadha partasarthi ki jai, gornitai ki jai. So, Srivas Thakur is Shuddha Bhakta. Now the question is, what kind of pure devotee is Srivas Thakur? What kind of pure devotee is Srivas? This we have to understand. At least we will, not have to, but we will understand something. He is a perfect Brahmana Vaishnava and the foremost devotee of the Lord. Srivas Pandit appeared in West Bengal in Srihat. He was about 30 years older. He came 30 years before Lord Chaitanya. And he and his younger brothers, he had three brothers, Srinidhi, Sripati, and Sriram, they were worshipping Krishna and performing devotional service. They, on the order of Srivas, all his brothers moved to Navadvipa and they began to associate with Advaitacharya. Srivas Thakur, Advaitacharya, Chandrasekhar Acharya, what's the other one? Can't remember. Shuklambara Brahmachari, Kulavecha Sridhar, Haridas Thakur, and other devotees would meet together with Advaitacharya and study the Bhakti Shastras and chant Harinam Sankirtan. So Srivas was in that Sangam with Advaitacharya. And he was also crying. Advaitacharya was crying and bathing his shalagram with his tears of prayers, his tears of hankering, his tears of lamentation. It's called Vilap Ashru. Vilap. Vilap Ashru. His tears of lamentation, he was bathing his shalagram. O Damodar, O Krishna. His shalagram he was worshipping was a Damodar. This is our Damodar. He was worshipping Damodar Shalagram. And he was bathing that shalagram with his Vilap Ashru, his tears of lamentation. O my Lord, you must come, you have to come. If you don't come, how will they be saved? I am simply lamenting. There is no way. We are a small handful. What can we do? We are discussing Bhagavatam. We are chanting Hare Krishna Kirtan. But we have, what power we have? There are so many mlechas, so many yavanas, so many shaktas, so many materialistic people around us in Navadvip, and this Mayapur, Navadvip Mandal. How can we change their hearts? We are so small, so weak. So like that. But Srivas Thakur was also crying. Because his guru was crying, and Advaita was crying, so he was also crying. Oh, my Lord, please come, please come. So this was the Sangha before Lord Chaitanya came. So the Lord, he came, and then not only did he have pastimes in this world, but he had pastimes especially in the house of Srivas Thakur. Every year at Rath Yatra, Srivas Pandit, he's a great kirtan leader. His quality was he was a great kirtan leader, and Mahaprabhu used to have him lead the kirtans every year. And one of the kirtan parties in Puri, in Jagannath Rath Yatra. Srivas Pandit and his wife Malini Devi became very dear friends of Jagannath Mishra and Mother Sachi. So then when Mahaprabhu was born, Malini used to go over and instruct her how to be a good mother. So Srivas became the second father. Srivas Pandit became like the second father for Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya always played in his house, and he was very, very, very fatherly towards him. And of course they had, there's a nice explanation here about this principle of his identity, is that in Chaitanya Charitamrita there's a discussion about the identity of Srivas Thakur, because we want to understand what kind of pure devotee he is, exactly. This is Nadi Leela, chapter 7, discusses two categories of Lord Chaitanya's parishads, two different categories of Lord Chaitanya's followers. Shivasari jatakoti koti bhaktagan, shuddha bhakta tattva madhye tansabaragan, Garadhara Pandit Adi Prabhur Shakti Avatar Antaranga Bhaktakari Ganana Yanhar Yan Sava Lana Prabhur Nityavihar Yan Sava Lana Prabhur Kirtan Prachar Yan Sava Lana Karena Premaswadan Yan Sava Lana Dhana Kare Premadan. These group of verses, Krishna's Kaviraj is explaining He's presenting two different lines of devotees. First, he discusses what kind of Shuddha Bhakta is Srivas Thakur. What kind of pure devotee of Lord Chaitanya is he? Because this verse, it was spoken by Swarup Dhammadhara Goswami and recorded by Krishna's Kaviraj, Pancha Tattva Makam Krishnam. He says he's a Bhaktakyam. So in this verse he explains in Adi 7:16, there are unlimited Shuddha Bhaktas. There are so many unlimited pure devotees of the Lord. And they're headed by Srivas Thakur. He's the chief. And they're all known as unalloyed devotees. Now, in the next verse, he explains, okay, there's all these Shuddha Bhaktas, but amongst these Shuddha Bhaktas, there's a special category of pure devotee who's not only a Shuddha Bhakta, but he's known as an Antaranga. Antaranga Bhakta. Antar, you know. Inside. Anga. He's an inside limb. Anga means limb. No, limb, arm, leg. He's a part of the body. Anga means body. He's an inside part of the body of Lord Chaitanya. Gradhar Pandit Adi, Prabhur Shakti Avatar, Antaranga Bhaktikari Gananyanhar, Ganhar. Translation. The devotees of Lord Chaitanya, those pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya, headed by Gadadhar Pandit, are considered to be incarnations of the potency of the Lord. Shakti Avatar. They are internal potential devotees engaged in the service of the Lord. So, Prabhupada explains in the purport very nicely. There are specific symptoms by which the internal devotees or the unalloyed devotees are known. All unalloyed or pure devotees of the Lord are known as Shakti Tattva, or potencies of Krishna. Some of them are situated in Madhurya Bhav, conjugal affection. Some are situated in Vatsalya Bhav, or Sakya Bhav. Certainly, all of them are pure devotees. But by making a comparative study, we find that the devotees or potencies who are engaged in Madhurya Bhav or conjugal love are better situated than the other pure devotees. The devotees who are in a relationship with the Supreme Personality and conjugal love are considered to be the most confidential devotees of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Those that engage in the service of Lord Nityananda and Advaita Prabhu generally have a relationship of Vatsalya Bhav, Sakya Bhav, or Dasya Bhav. Parental love, paternal love, or thus servant. Then in the next purport, now in the next verse, Yansaba Lhana Prabhur Nitya Vihar. Nitya Vihar. Yansaba Lhana Prabhur Kirtan Prachar. Yansaba Lhana Karena Prema Ashwadan. Yansaba Lhana Dhan Kare Prema Dhan. Kara Prema Dhan. So this particular category of pure devotees, this represented by Gadadhar Pandit and Swarup Dhammadhara and Ramananda Roy and all the followers of Swarup Dhammadhara, they're described here. The Antaranga Bhaktas, the Madhurya Bhaktas, the pure devotees of the Lord situated in Madhurya Bhav, they are eternal associates of Krishna in the pastimes of the Lord. Only with them does the Lord come to expand the Sankirtan movement. Only with them does the Lord taste prema ashwadan, the conjugal mellow of love. And only with them does he distribute this love of God to the people in general. So the Antaranga Bhaktas who are in this Madhurya Bhav, they are the most empowered representatives, most empowered pure devotees of the Lord. So they are specifically Swarup Dhammadhara, Gadadhar Pandit, Ramananda Roy. Then after Swarup Dhammadhara, you have Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami is specifically empowered as an Antaranga Bhakta, because in Krishna Leela, he is Rupa Manjari. So he comes into Gaur Leela as Rupa Goswami to spread this Madhurya Bhav. That's why he's writing all the Shastras. Rupa Goswami, who's situated in Madhurya Bhav, is writing all the Shastras on Prema. It's called Sadhya. Sadhya Shastra, the Shastra about the goal of life, Prayojana Tattva, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Ujjvala Nilamani, Upadeshamrita, Lalita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, Stavamala. These are all very important works for developing Madhurya Bhav, which, as we hear in this verse, Lord Chaitanya has come with these devotees to taste the prema, prema ashwadan and prema dhan, to give this prema. So, you can see that Srivas Thakur, he is also Shuddha Bhakta, Bhaktakyam. And so is Gadadhar. Gadadhar is the energy that he represents as pure devotee. But then, his followers, Sarup Dhamadhar, Ramananda Roy, all of these, they're very, very special pure devotees of the Lord because they're the Antaranga Bhaktas, situated in the very heart of Lord Chaitanya. When Lord Chaitanya met Rupa Goswami at Das Ashwamedha Ghat in the Allahabad, at the, you know, where they have Kumbha, he embraced him in a loving embrace. He embraced Rupa Goswami. And from his heart, from the heart of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his heart entered into the heart of Rupa Goswami. The heart, just like he embraced him in all the vibration, all the desires. That's why he's known as Rupa, Sri Rupa Goswami. Because he took the desire, the internal confidential desire within the heart of Lord Chaitanya. Rupa Goswami took that desire and he gave it form, shape, rupam. Rupa means shape, form, right? So he is Sri Rupa. So he gave form, he gave shape to the desire of Sri, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, or Srimati Radharani, or Sri Krishna. Because you have a desire, you want to have a new car, you want a new house, that there's no shape, there's no rupam. It is only vasana. It is vasana with no rupam. So then you work, and you get money, and you endeavor, and then by your endeavor and by your work, you give shape, you give rupam to your vasana. Vasana means desire, is it right? So you work very hard, and then you give shape, you give form to your desire. So what was Lord Chaitanya's desire? Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Chusei Namah. Who wrote this verse? Who wrote this verse that everyone knows? Thank you. Sri Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami wrote this verse. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate. This is your desire, Lord Chaitanya, to give prema to everyone. But who will give shape to that desire? Who will give form to that desire? So when Mahaprabhu embraced Rupa Goswami, he sent his desire, his feelings, his desire, his vasana into the heart of Rupa Goswami. And then Rupa Goswami sat down, and by his work, by Rupa Goswami's work and endeavor, he gave shape to that desire. He gave form to that desire. But he wrote it down. He wrote down how to practice bhakti, how to attain prema, this prema, pradayate. So that's why he's called Sri Rupa, because he gave this shape and form. Lord Chaitanya wanted everyone to get love of God. But how? How do you get love of God? How do you practice sadhana bhakti? Then what is bhava bhakti? Then what is prema bhakti? Who gave shape to all these desires and who explained all these concepts and gave the path of the rag marg and the bhava marg and the prema marg and the sadhana marg? Who gave this? Sri Rupa Goswami. So he is known as an Antaranga Bhakta, Madhurya Bhakta. But Srivas Thakur, as we heard, he's a Shuddha Bhakta, but his angle of vision is a little different. He's not considered an Antaranga Bhakta. He represents the line of Dasya Bhav, the devotee, the servants of Lord Chaitanya, and those that are in the mood of parenthood. And we hear the pastimes, as we heard, he was like the second father of Nimai Pandit. Why? Why was he like the second father of Nimai Pandit? Why did Nimai Pandit used to come and play in his house? Why did Nittai used to go to his house and sit in the lap of his mother, of his wife? Srivas Pandit's wife is Malini. Malini was 60 years old. Mahaprabhu was like 35. And he used to sit in her lap, in Srivas' wife's lap, and take her breast and draw milk from that breast. Because she was completely saturated with Vatsalya Bhav. So her body was not prakriti, her body is chinmoy. Her body is spiritual. So she can do unlimited things. Her breasts were all dried up, 60-year-old lady. But Nityananda Prabhu was in the mood of a baby. He was in the mood of Balaram. He was in the mood of a young boy. So he wanted some milk. So this is a Vatsalya Bhav. Parental affection was, her affection was flowing and giving. So in this way we see that Shiva's Pandit, he represents Vatsalya Bhav. And he had his pastimes with the Lord. Now Prabhupada discusses this very nicely in the purport to this verse, Adi Lila 18, 4:18, 7:18 and 19. Among the five tattvas, pancha tattvakam krishnam, two of these tattvas are energies, shakti tattva. And the three others are energetic, shaktiman. So Nityananda Prabhu, Advaita Prabhu, Lord Chaitanya, they're shaktiman. But then two are energies, two are shaktis. One is the bhakti shakti, Gadadhara Pandit, and the other is bhakti of the energy of the pure devotee is Srivas Pandit. Unalloyed internal devotees of the Lord are both engaged in favorable activities. They are all understood to be pure devotees. But among all of those pure devotees of Lord Chaitanya, those devotees who are simply engaged in conjugal love are called Madhurya Bhaktas, or internal devotees. The potential loving services in parental love, Vatsalya Bhav, fraternity, Sakya Bhav, and Dasya Bhav, are included in conjugal love of God. In conclusion, therefore, every confidential devotee is a pure devotee of the Lord. So, it gives us something of the identity of Shiva's Pandit. He was very much in this mood of being the father towards Lord Chaitanya. He was in Vatsalya Bhav. So, there's so many different pastimes about Shrivas. Once he was walking on the street, and he saw Lord Chaitanya. This time he was Nimai Pandit. He was a young scholar, a young teacher. He was teaching Nyaya and Harinam Vyakaran, Sanskrit grammar, rhetoric. He was very much the scholar. And he had a lot of abhiman. Because he used to go to the Ganges and defeat everyone. Nimai Pandit would go to the Ganges and challenge everyone and debate and defeat them, then throw water on their face and jump on the Ganges. They would say, "Hey Nimai, you rascal!" He'd say, "Yeah, come and catch me!" And they would jump in the water and swim, "I'll get you, you!" And they couldn't catch him. So Shiva's Pandit, seeing this abhiman, this pride in Lord Chaitanya, because he was simply at this time, Nimai Pandit, as a young 14-year-old scholar pandit, the big pandit of Navadvip. Navadvip. He was very proud. So Shiva saw him and said, "Hey, Nimai Pandit, I have a question for you. What is the use?" This is good for students. "What is the use of all your studies and all your learning and all your reading of so many books? If all this studies and all this reading has not brought you to the path of bhakti, has not brought you to the path of service to Krishna, what is the value of it? You should give this up and simply learn about Krishna and propagate Krishna Seva." And then, understanding the inner mood of his second father, Shivas Pandit, Nimai Pandit said, "Yes, Shivas, if you give me your mercy, if you give me your mercy, by your mercy, maybe I'll be able to get free from this entanglement and mundane education." So like this is one joking pastime. So, of course, there's other pastimes. The kirtan party started in his house, Srivas Pandit's house. See, I made a small outline here of different points. Oh, this is nice. One time, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted to test the faith of Srivas. So he came to his house. And I already told you about Nityananda. Nityananda used to go to Srivas' house and used to break the pots and he would steal the butter. He's 35 years old. He's an Avadhut Sannyasi. An Avadhut Sannyasi Nityananda Prabhu. And he would go and take Malini's milk, breast milk. So then Lord Chaitanya went there and had a discussion with Srivas. "Srivas, why do you keep this Avadhut in your house? Why do you keep this Avadut in your house and maintain him? Don't you know anything about him? Don't you know who he is? Don't you know his family background or where he comes from? Listen, Srivas, I'm warning you. I'm warning you. You're being too kind and lenient with this Avadut. If you want to keep the good reputation of your family within this society of Navadvip, then you should immediately throw this Avadut out of your house. Throw him out of your house. Srivas Pandit then smiled at Lord Chaitanya and said, "My Lord, it is not proper for you to test me like this. I know that Lord Nityananda is your expansion. You are the Supreme Lord. And there's no difference between yourself and Sri Nityananda Prabhu. I am your servant. And anyone who serves you becomes my master. Even if Lord Nityananda were a meat-eating drunkard, and if by associating with him I lose all my wealth, all my reputation, everything, still I will tell you truly, I will never think of anything else other than serving your lotus feet and the lotus feet of Nitai." Hearing Srivas Thakur speak like this, Mahaprabhu stood up and roared loudly with great joy, "What have I heard from you, Srivas? You have so much faith and love in Nitai. Lord Nityananda, you have understood the truth about my dear most confidential associate. You have pleased me very much. So now I will grant you a boon, a benediction, a boon, blessing. Even if there comes," this is what Mahaprabhu told me, he gave a blessing to Srivas, "even if there comes a time when Lakshmipati goes broke, if the tax man catches Lakshmipati, you know, the tax department catches Lakshmipati, you know Lakshmipati? Even if Lakshmipati gets caught by the tax man and he goes broke, and even if Lakshmi Devi has to go house to house and become a beggar, I promise you, Srivas, that your house will never see poverty. Not only that, everyone living in your house, even your pet dogs and cats and anyone who's in your house, they will attain complete shelter of my devotional service. So, I will leave Nityananda Prabhu in your care because I know that you will maintain him and serve him properly." So this was a test of the faith of Srivas. Because Mahaprabhu was saying, "Who is this Avadut? You should throw him out. He'll spoil your reputation." So then Srivas might think, "Oh, that's right. What about my name and my fame and my family? I should get rid of this person." But this was a test of faith. But Srivas passed it very nicely. So the Srivas Angam, of course, is an eternal place. The house of Lord of Srivas Thakur is right next to Mahaprabhu's house in Mayapur. And in the spiritual world, there's a spiritual section of Vrindavan, of Goloka Vrindavan, where there is Navadvip. And there is Srivas Angam, the house of Srivas. So this is a place of the eternal Sankirtan Leela, the Prem Sankirtan Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all his liberated devotees. They meet there in the courtyard of Srivas' house. So there's a description of the very first kirtan that took place in Srivas' house. And we can read about that. And then we'll spend the remaining few minutes hearing about the different Sankirtan pastimes of Srivas Thakur. If you want to read more, there's a whole chapter in this book about Srivas Thakur. So many pastimes in his house. One day Lord Chaitanya said to all his associates, "My brothers, why should we waste our nights in false and useless activities?" Like he sat with his friend, "Why are we wasting our, we're just spending our nights talking, watching TV, reading newspaper. Why should we waste our nights like this? From now on, we should gather together and sing the Mangala Kirtan, the auspicious names of Krishna, every night. By chanting Krishna's names, we will drown in the Ganga of Shuddha Bhakti. We'll drown in the Ganga. The Ganga of Shuddha Bhakti will drown us if we absorb ourselves. And by this, we will deliver the entire world." Hearing these words from Lord Chaitanya, all the Vaishnavas became very happy. And then Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan Leela began in the house of Srivas Thakur. Hearing the kirtan, everyone in Nadia ran there. But no one could enter the door because it was firmly shut and locked tight by Lord Chaitanya. Thousands of people gathered outside and cried out, "We want to see the kirtan! Break down the door!" Meanwhile, inside, the devotees were absorbed in kirtan premananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his sankirtan only with special devotees. Nityananda Gadadhar, Dvaita Srivas, Pundarik Vidyanidhi, Murari, Haridas, Sukambara, Sridhar, Jagadananda, and Brakeshwara, and others. Every night they blissfully chanted the names of the Lord, but the materialists and the offenders would jump up and down and complain, "We can't sleep, we can't sleep. They're making too much noise." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan movement started in the month of January in Srivas Thakur's house. And it was enthusiastically carried on through February. By March, within 3 months, the kirtan was known all over Bengal. Kavi Karnapur describes in Chaitanya Charita Kavya, the Harinam Sankirtan, performed every night in Srivas Thakur's house by Nimai Pandit and his companions, was unlike anything ever known. The musical instruments used were kol and kartal. The tunes were simple, yet sublime and soul-moving. While the instruments would play in concert for a while, the singers would compose and concentrate their minds. Then the chanting would begin. So this is how and Damodar knows, this is how kirtan, the musicians would play their instruments. And so the singers, the lead singers, they would be meditating on the kirtan, on the names of the Lord. They would be composing and fixing their minds. They would begin chanting. You know, Kiva jayo, jayo, gora, chandi, aro, tiko, shob. Like that. This is kirtan ras. So then they would concentrate their minds, and then the chanting would begin. Overcome with bhakti, Nimai would stand up and begin dancing, being electrified by Nimai's performance. Jai Radhapartasarthi. Being electrified by Nimai's performance, his companions would join him. Nimai would dance with his arms extended and his eyes turned upward while crying out, "Hari bol, hari bol, hari bol, 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 bol." During the kirtan, the devotees showed many ecstatic symptoms and many emotional experiences. They would become unconscious, roll on the ground, embrace each other, and alternately cry and laugh. They would cry and then they would laugh. Or they would all together cry out in unison, "Hari bol, hari hari!" Nimai was the soul of the kirtan. His divine influence awoke profound religious zeal in his companions. They felt themselves being immersed in a sea of bhakti where they were directly associating with Lord Sri Krishna. That's the first kirtan. Describing the first kirtan of Mahaprabhu. Then there's more. Kirtan. This is life. No kirtan, no life. Dead man. Right? This is the Hare Krishna movement. We're known as that. The courtyard of Srivas Thakur was a regular meeting place where Nimai and his closest associates would engage in nightly sankirtan. During those exclusive meetings, Mahaprabhu would reveal his divine form to his followers. Lord Chaitanya would appear to each devotee individually as different incarnations according to the devotee's attachment to a particular incarnation of the Lord. In all of the Lord's incarnations and pastimes, the zenith of all activities is his voluntary loving defeat in the hands of his pure devotees. Although these private nightly kirtans continued for some time, Gauranga had a larger mission to fulfill. Therefore, he could not confine his devotional activities to a limited circle of intimate associates. Soon he organized huge sankirtan parties and processions in which thousands of people took part. Oh, what happiness is felt in seeing the Sankirtan of Gaura Nityananda as they dance with all their associates, with Kol and Kartal and shouts of Hari Bol, Hari Bol. They dance in ecstatic love. They shed tears in streams while behaving like madmen. In ecstasy, someone trembles and roars like a lion. Hari Bol! Hari Bol! Someone stretches out his arms to embrace another. Someone clasps another's feet while smearing the dust on his head. You know, he runs to a devotee and falls down, puts the dust on his head. Another devotee, oblivious to onlookers, rolls on the ground in the ecstasy of the moment. Chaitanya would always relish Sankirtan Vilas. Gaurahari danced in an elegant style as he performed kirtan. Sri Chaitanya Rai looked extremely beautiful with his effulgent golden complexion. When the Lord was about to dance, his associates would decorate him with flower garlands, ornaments, and sandalwood paste. While dancing ecstatically, Gaura Prabhu cried incessantly as he chanted the holy names. Loudly chanting the names of Hari, all the devotees cried along with Gauranga. That's all you hear about Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. All they're doing is crying and rolling on the ground. So, this Srivas Thakur, he was very fortunate to have the Lord always having his pastimes in his house. In the Astakaliya Leela of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there's Nishant Leela. Nishant Leela goes from 1048 until 336 in the morning, 1048 at night. And Lord Chaitanya meets with Nitai and all the devotees in Srivas Angam, and the kirtan begins. And they start chanting around 1030 at night. And the kirtan is rolling and rolling and rolling. And by about 1:30, they're doing all these things, rolling on the ground, going completely mad. And then at 2 a.m. in the morning, the kirtan stops. They go from 10:30 to 2 a.m. every night. This is their nightly sankirtan. And then, of course, they take some rest in Srivas's flower gardens. And this Srivas Angam, the gardens and house at Srivas Thakur, this is the yoga pit. This is Sri Chaitanya yoga pit for the evening. The morning yoga pit is his birthplace, Lord Chaitanya's birthplace. But the evening yoga pit is Srivas Angam. That's why devotees that are meditating on Lord Chaitanya and his eternal pastimes, they will meditate on Srivas Angam. And such a beautiful courtyard and beautiful grounds he has. He has hundreds of acres, beautiful wall around it. And all the different forests are there. The six different seasons are there. There's a spring forest and a winter forest and a summer forest. All the different forests are there. And beautiful gardens and flowers. So when the devotees want to make garlands for Lord Chaitanya before he begins his evening kirtan, they can go in any forest they want. They can go in the autumn forest and get kadamba flowers, or go in the spring forest and get jyoti or malati or malika flowers. And just go to different, doesn't matter. It's not that, oh, now it's summertime, we can't get any winter flowers. They could get any flowers. So it's told that Srivas Thakur, there's four places where Lord Chaitanya always appears. In all times and places, there's four places where Lord Chaitanya appears. Do you know what they are? What is the first place? The first place that Lord Chaitanya appears is in the house of Mother Sachi. Even if Lord Chaitanya is in Puri, wherever he is, wandering in South India or anywhere, when Mother Sachi is cooking for him, kirtan is going on in Srivas Angam. In Srivas Thakur's house, when the kirtan is going on, then Lord Chaitanya appears there. That's why when the devotees go to Mayapur, as you know, we go to Srivas Angam, the house of Srivas Thakur, which is near Lord Chaitanya's place, and we have big kirtan. Big kirtan. Because all Jayapataka Maharaj, Lokanath Maharaj, all our leaders of the Parikrama, they say, oh, we have to have big kirtan. Because it's told that any time the kirtan goes on in Srivas Thakur's house, if it's actually Premanam Sankirtan and Shudanam, pure holy name is chanted, then Krishna himself comes. Lord Chaitanya will come here in this place. So then everybody says, oh yes, then Jayapataka Maharaj says, do you want to see Lord Chaitanya? Everyone says, yes! No, do you really want to see Lord Chaitanya? Yes! Okay, then start the kirtan. So then we chant and chant and chant, you know, for hours or whatever. And then maybe some of us see Lord Chaitanya, maybe some don't. Who knows? That's up to the devotees. But that's the second place. In the home of Sachimata, in the home of Srivas Thakur, when kirtan goes on, and where's the third place? Raghava Pandit! At any rate, in the home of Raghava Pandit, because his sister, Damayanti is a pure devotee, and so is Raghava Pandit. Of course, Raghava Pandit is actually Champaklata, who's actually a very good cook. Her name, Champaklata, one of the Astasakis, Champak Devi, her nickname is Mishta, Mishtahana. Hana means hot, hot means hand, Mishta means sweet. She has sweet hands. She has very sweet hands. Just like if someone is a good gardener, they're good with plants and trees, they say he has a green thumb. He's very good, a green thumb. So she has sweet hands. She makes very nice preparations. So Raghava Pandit is a Champaklata. So Lord Chaitanya always appears there to accept the offerings of Damayanti and Raghava Pandit. Now where's the fourth place where Lord Chaitanya always appears? Wherever Lord Nityananda is dancing. Wherever Lord Nityananda is dancing, then Lord Chaitanya comes there. Just like at Panihati festival, Lord Nityananda was there and Raghunath Das was there, but everyone saw Lord Chaitanya because Nityananda was dancing in ecstasy. So then Lord Chaitanya came. Lord Chaitanya also comes wherever Nittai dances in ecstasy. So of course book distribution is something like that. But this is what is told in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. So this Srivas Thakur, he's a very great devotee of the Lord. Of course, there's a nice discussion that he has with Damodar Pandit. Because Srivas Thakur is the incarnation of Narada Muni, and the Ishtadeva of Narada Muni is Narayan. Narayana, 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 right? So his Ishtadeva is Narayan. So he's not a Madhurya Bhakta. Narada Muni, who is Srivas Thakur, he is not a Madhurya Bhakta, he's not an Antaranga Bhakta. But, so he cannot have free access into the Madhurya Leela of Krishna's Vrindavan pastimes. But he wanted to see Srivas Thakur and Krishna Leela. He wanted to see Krishna's pastimes with gopis. So he came there and he went to one forest, because he knew that Kusum Sarovar was a place of very intimate Rahasya Leela, very confidential pastimes of Radha and Krishna. So he went across, he went nearby, in a forest nearby. Because he had no adhikar, because he's in this mood of Aishwarya Bhav. He worships Narayan, Lakshmi Narayan. He's in the mood of Aishwarya Bhav, on reverence, respect, distance, very careful and not too familiar, very respectful, keep a good distance. The Lord is way up there, I'm down here. He's in this mood, Narada Muni, as a Narayana Bhakta, Narayana Parayana. So he could not get too close to Kusum Sarovar. So he went some distance in a place called Narada Van. The place is called Narada Van. And there's one kund there, Narada Kund. So he starts doing tapa with the icha for Krishna Darshan, to see Krishna with gopis. But he had this Narada Muni form, this male form, and this Purusha Abhiman, and this Aishwarya Bhav. No access. You have to have prakriti rup, and you have to have this Madhurya Bhav, Gopi Bhav, in order to see Radha and Krishna with gopis. So he's doing an intense tapasya. So then one day, Vrindadevi came by there. Hey, Narad, what's happening? What are you doing? Oh, I'm doing this tapasya. I want to see Radha and Krishna's pastimes with gopis. Hey, not possible. You have to have Gopi Rup. You must have Gopi Rup and Gopi Bhav. Oh, acha. How is it possible? Anyway, come with me. So she took him to Kusum Sarovara. Samana Sarovara. Kusum. We say Kusum. Now they call Kusum Sarovara. The big palace is there, you know, the big palace. Kusum Sarovara. And she put him inside. In the northwest corner. And when she said, you bathe in there, and this Kusum Sarovar, because Radha and Krishna bathe here, and this is full of their kunkum, and chandan, and vermilion, and all these different things, kasturi, then by the blessings of this Chinmaya Shakti, you may get your desire fulfilled. So Narada took a bath over there, and then he came up as a gopi. Naradi, or Narada. Anyway, he came up as a gopi, gopi rup. And by the blessings of Vrindadevi, then he got the darshan. So this is Srivas Thakur. He's this Shuddha Bhakta, but he's not so intimate as Rupa Goswami, as Gadadhar, as all these other devotees. At any rate, knowing his identity as Narada Muni, and knowing that he's in Aishwarya Bhav, once Damodar Pandit had a discussion with him about Lakshmi. He brought up this discussion. And that's explained in Madhya Leela chapter 14, which is, we can read a little bit about that to hear more of the glories. Because Srivas Thakur, his Ishtadev is Lakshmi Narayan. Because, of course, his Ishtadev is Gauranga Mahaprabhu in Gaur Leela, but his Narada Muni, his Ishtadev is Narayan and Lakshmi. So he speaks, has this conversation, Madhya Leela chapter 14, text 204. Srivas smiled and told Damodar Pandit, "My dear sir, please listen. Just see how opulent Lakshmi Devi is. Lakshmi Deka Sampati Vistar. Lakshmi Deka Sampati Vistar. You just see, Deka, you see how Sampati, how much opulence my Lakshmi has." And because he's contrasting his Lakshmi Devi with the gopis. The Srivas Thakur, Narada Muni. He said, "As far as this Vrindavan is concerned, what is the opulence of Vrindavan? It's just a few flowers and a couple twigs." Twig means small piece. "And some minerals, some powder and some minerals from the hills. And a few peacock feathers. And some little plant known as Gunja. Some little red berries known as Gunja. What is the opulence of Vrindavan?" When Jagannath decided to go to Vrindavan, he went there. And upon hearing this, the goddess of fortune experienced jealousy and restlessness. She wondered, because Jagannath lives with Lakshmi Devi in Puri, in Dwarka, which means Puri. Puri represents the opulence of Dwarka. So Srivas is saying, this is what Lakshmi was saying. She wondered, why did Jagannath give up all this opulence to go to this village of Vrindavan? Then to make him a laughing stock, the goddess of fortune made arrangements to decorate herself gorgeously and opulently. Then all the dasis, all the Lakshmi dasis, the maidservants of Lakshmi, they decorated themselves with ounces and, you know, grams and grams of gold and everything. And then they went to the servants, the Jagannath das, the servants of Lord Jagannath, and they said, "Why did your Lord Jagannath abandon the goddess of fortune and opulence just to go get a few leaves and flowers and see the flower garden of Radharani?" Because Gundicha Mandir, the Rath Yatra goes from the temple in Puri to Gundicha Mandir. Gundicha Mandir represents Vrindavan. It's Sundara Chala and Neela. So Sundara means Radharani, Sundari. So this is Vrindavan. So he gave up the opulence of his big palace, the temple of Jagannath, which represents all the opulence and wealth and majesty and grandeur of Dwarka. And he hops on a wooden chariot, and he goes down the road to Vrindavan, to this little garden area with a few twigs and a few flowers. So they're making fun. The servants of Lakshmi Devi are making fun of the servants of Jagannath. "Hey, your master, what is this guy? Your master is so expert in everything. Why does he do such things? Please bring your master before the goddess of fortune." Then the Lakshmi Dasis, they arrested and tied up all the servants of Jagannath. And they brought them before Lakshmi. This is called Hara Panchami Mahotsav. They brought them and they made them bow down before the goddess of fortune. They were given a fine and forced to submit. So all the servants of Lakshmi, they tied up all Jagannath's servants. And they said, "You have to pay a fine, you know, because all Brahmins, you know, they always have so much money." All the servants, they said, "Okay, 500 rupees, you know, give some money." And they tied him up. As all the maidservants began to take their sticks and they began to beat the Rathayatra car with their sticks, like Lati Holi, smashing the Rathayatra car. This is Lakshmi's servants. And they treated the servants of Lord Jagannath like thieves. They treated them like dacoits. Finally, all of Lord Jagannath's servants submitted and surrendered to the goddess of fortune with folded hands. And they assured her that we'll bring back Jagannath the next day. "Please, please, we'll bring back your Lord tomorrow. Don't beat us." They're beating the carts. See, the servants of Lakshmi were beating the Rathyatra cart, and they were looking at the servants of Jagannath who were tied up and at the feet of Lakshmi. They're beating the cart and looking at them like, "You're next." You know, in other words, they're beating the cart with their sticks, and they're looking at it, "See, after we beat these carts, we're going to beat you." So then they all said, "Oh, no, no.
Please, please. You know, we surrender. We'll bring back Jagannath. Don't beat the cart, but don't beat us.
Being thus pacified, the goddess of fortune returned to her apartment. Just see, my goddess of fortune is opulent beyond all description. Srivast Thakur continued to glorify Lakshmi and addressed Sarudamodar. Your gopis, he's speaking to, it started actually, it says he's speaking to Damodar Pandit, now it says he's speaking to Sarudamodar. The Sarudamodar is the Lita Saki. So Srivast goes on, he's in this mood of Aishwarya Bhav, Narada Muni, he's in Aishwarya Bhav, so Srivast is displaying this Aishwarya Bhav. He says, hey Damodar Pandit, what are your gopis? Your gopis, they're always engaged in boiling milk and churning it into yogurt. But my mistress, my queen, the goddess of fortune, she sits on a throne made of jewels and gold. Srivast Thakur, who was enjoying the mood of Narada Muni, thus made all these jokes. Hearing him, all the personal servants of Mahaprabhu began to smile. Narada Prakriti Srivast Kari Parihas Shunihase Mahaprabhur Jatani Jadas. So these are some of the glories of Srivast Thakur on this holy day of his sacred appearance. The Yavirbhav Titi of Mahotsav of Srivast Thakur. We can pray to him because he is the perfect pure devotee, Shuddha Bhakta. And we are very, very far from the realm of pure devotion. Love of Krishna begins with pure devotion. And in love, pure devotion, when it manifests itself, it manifests in different forms and flavors of love. As Dasyabhav, Sakyabhav, Vatsalyabhav, Madhuryabhav. But first we have to come to the platform of pure devotion, pure bhakti. So that energy, that Shuddha Bhakti, bhakti means an energy, it's a shakti. That energy is personified by Srivast Thakur. He has come to give that energy, to give that purity. Just like Narada Muni, he travels all over the universe to give bhakti, to give the purity, the devotion, which is required. Because when a drop of bhakti enters your heart, then all the anomalies and all the difficulties, they go away. It's not that first you become free, totally free from all lust, greed, anger, then bhakti comes. First, somehow or other, you get some bhakti. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains in our Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 33, I think it's text 38 or 9. He explains that if a drop of bhakti can come into your heart, that drop of devotion is so tasty and so satisfying and so fulfilling that you will get attachment to Krishna's pastimes, an attachment to Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, an attachment to Krishna's name. And by that name and by those pastimes, that will purify that nam tattva, and that lila tattva will remove all of the anarthas, kam, krodh, lobh. It will go away. So we have to pray to the Vaishnavas, to the Guru, and to great incarnations of the Lord and expansions of the Lord like Srivast, who are oceans of mercy and repositories of kripa. Please bless me with kripa bindu, bhakti bindu diya. Bhakti bindu diya. Please give me a drop of bhakti. Because you are the bhaktakyam. You are bhakti shakti. I have no devotion. I have no submission. I have no attachment. I have no surrender. I am completely attached to materialistic thinking and materialistic activities. Oh, Srivast, just see my despicable, deplorable, and fallen condition. But in this mood of submission, I surrender to you and I pray for your mercy. Because it is your nature to be compassionate. Tatikshva kurunika, kripambudi, please be merciful to me. Please bless me with a drop of bhakti. Because if I have this drop of bhakti, then everything else will go very quickly. All my bad qualities, anarthas, avidya, aparad, it will all be destroyed very quickly if I can get a drop of bhakti. But if I can't get a drop of bhakti, and by my own endeavor and just by my own work and hard work, I'll never cross over these things. It will take thousands of lifetimes. So I need your mercy. The mercy of a devotee is that he gives devotion. He gives bhakti. That is his mercy. And devotion comes, then everything will come. They have a phrase in the Bible that says, an ounce of devotion can move mountains. A grain, a drop of devotion can move an entire mountain, a whole parvat. But if you have no devotion, it becomes very difficult to even move a small pebble, small stone. So let us pray to Srivas Thakur to bless us with bhakti. Srivas Thakur ki. Yeah. Somehow, yasya prasada, bhagavat prasada, we try to please the pure devotee. That is, we have nothing, the whole bhakti yoga is summarized by one word, which I mentioned once before. It's kripa. If you get the kripa, you get success. If you don't get the kripa, you're a failure. So somehow we have to get the kripa. So kripa, Vaishnav kripa, Guru kripa, Nam kripa, Dham kripa, Bhagavat kripa, Radha kripa, that it's with them. They have the mercy, they have bhakti, they have prema. We simply beg, please, am I fit? Am I qualified? I'm begging for this, please. So we're beggars, we're bhikshu. The sannyas, when you work your way, you go through all the ashramas and all the varnas, and you work very hard and you become very devoted, and finally you get to the top of the whole varnashram system. And the evolution of knowledge and devotion and surrender and renunciation, and then you take sannyas. But then when you take sannyas, you're given a stick, and you say, okay, now you're a bhikshu. Now you're a bhikshu. Tridandi bhikshu. Bhikshu means beggar. Now go beg. Go house to house and beg. Beg for your maintenance. Beg people to chant. Please take up this Krishna consciousness. Bolo Krishna, Bajo Krishna, Krishna Koro Shiksha. Krishna Mata, Krishna Pita, Krishna Dana Pran. Nadia Godrume, Nityananda Mahajan. Right? So, we become beggars. So, he's a big devotee. He's a big devotee. Oh, he's sannyasi. Oh, acha, haribo. He's sannyasi, he's guru, GBC, ABC, Maharaj, Swamiji, you know, this, that. He's big devotee. So you become a big devotee, then what do you become? A beggar. So the little devotee, the brahmachari, the grihastha, everyone, that so-called little devotee, he's a little beggar. And he begs his whole life, and it's very hard to beg. So the point we're making is that we have to beg for mercy. The new devotee, the new bhakta is begging for mercy from the temple commander and everyone, and we're all beggars. Even Krishna became a beggar. Krishna had to become a beggar. Even there's a pastime when Radharani offended Radharani, Krishna offended Radharani by leaving her. So some of the gopis said, oh, you made our Radharani cry? So now we curse you that you'll become a beggar and you'll have to go cry someday. So he had to, because of the, there's some pastime. So the gopi said, oh, you're making our Swamini cry? She's crying and crying and crying. And you think you're slightly smiling, you think it's a funny thing? Well then, you'll become a beggar and you'll have to cry. So then, because of that, there's one internal reason. Krishna became Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he had to go cry for Krishna. Crying in the Gambira, crying everywhere. He's crying, crying, crying. Hey, Krishna! Where is Krishna? Right? The Goswamis are crying for Krishna. So we're begging, we're crying. Someday, by the mercy of Guru, Vaishnavas, we may get one drop of kripa. The mercy of the Vaishnava means bhakti. A real devotee has bhakti. Many imitations, they have a phrase in English, often duplicated but never imitated. And people, the duplicate copies, Sony this, Sony that, Sony that, but it's just made in Okla. It's not made in Japan, it's not a real Sony, it's made in Okla, a duplicate. It's not the real thing. There's many duplicate devotees. Dodi, Tilak, Dodi, Tilak, Dodi, Tilak, Dodi, Tilak, Dodi, Tilak. But real devotee is very less. Sadurlabham. Very Sadurlabham. So if we can find one, then we're lucky. Then you hold on to that devotee's feet and you serve them.